Once again, time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, to join us here on Robin Hood Radio, also the Robin Hood Radio Network, robinhoodradio.com, on demand. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. It's morning. I have to say, my last book was called The Southern Italian Table, which is perfectly good, a straightforward title. I really was tempted many times to call it breadcrumb cuisine because there were so many dishes in the south of Italy made with old bread that, but you know, old bread you couldn't in the title, but breadcrumb cuisine might be provocative. In any case, this all came up this week because I've been into my breadcrumbs again. And I made, in fact, I have been making, I've done it more than once, these baked shrimp, oreganata, I would say, with breadcrumbs that I season rather heavily with oregano, salt, and garlic, very finely chopped garlic. And I moisten and pepper. Depends on who I'm serving it to, which pepper I use. The other day, I just used some plain black pepper because I have somebody who's sensitive to hot pepper. But anyway, you can put hot pepper in if you like, or hot paprika in if you like. And then you dredge the and oil. I always forget. You have to put oil in now and really mix it into the breadcrumbs. And I dredge the shrimp by just dumping them all in the bowl with the breadcrumbs. And until they're nicely coated, spread them out on a baking sheet. I usually have a foil lined baking sheet. And this is precise because it works for me. On the top shelf of a 400 degree oven, well preheated, 10 minutes. Okay, 11. That's if there's. They are the 20 to 24 per pound. You know, shrimp are graded by the how many they are per pound. And these are, I wouldn't call these large shrimp. I would say these are medium large shrimp. They're medium shrimp. And they're about 24 out of the pound, which means that you get four servings out of a pound. And they're really, really good. But I served this to a friend who saw the loaf of fresh bread on my counter. And said, oh, did you know, of course she knew I knew, did you know that it's better to freeze bread than to store it in the refrigerator? I said, because I had my bread right out on the counter. She saw that it was not in the refrigerator. It was a fresh loaf in the plastic bag that it comes from from the store. And in fact, I'd already poked a hole in the bag because I like my bread to breathe. So I thought, you know, this is a worthy subject. In fact, I don't like to refrigerate my bread at all, but I would go against my own advice in that I do sometimes put it in a plastic bag on the counter. Now, if you put it in a plastic bag, keeping it at room temperature, it will get moldy. By the end of the week, probably, it'll be moldy. Even I, by the way, I buy bread with no preservatives. If you want to, I recently did buy a supermarket sliced bread, and it was one of those brands that's supposed to be, you know, purer than pure. But it stayed fresh way too long. I don't know what they put in it, but at the end of the week, it was the same as it was at the beginning of the week. That doesn't mean it was good bread. So by me, it should be nice and out of the oven in the beginning, I love it for that sake. But by the end of the week, it's going to be dried out. It's not going to be moldy. It's not going to be stale, really, but it will be dried out and good for other things. So, and I use it for other things. Now, lately, I've been buying a bread that's made in a bakery in Soho, but they sell it in the supermarket around. And this baker, Grand Daisy, calls it pane integrale, which is the Italian word, or expression for whole wheat bread. Pane is bread. Integrale, as you can imagine, is integral, meaning got everything, you know, everything from the wheat berry. But it's not a really heavy whole wheat bread, but it is pure. And it has just enough wheat in it, bran, germ, that it will go bad. So I know that it's pure bread. So the first thing I do is we eat the bread fresh. In fact, I had some this morning already, I had two heels of the bread because I like the heel. This is not a very crusty bread. It has a nice flavored crust, but it's not a crisp crust. And right now with our dental situations, Bob and me, and mine, dental said, what is the right pronoun there? Anyway, it's better to have a little softer bread, but still whole wheat. And enough whole wheat that makes a difference in the taste. So, and not so much whole wheat that it's really dense, although I do love those breads. So this bread, at first we're eating it fresh. Then I'm eating it toasted. And I love it just rubbed down with a piece of garlic. I cut a clove of garlic, rub it on hot toast, and then drizzle on some really good olive oil. And to me, that's like the best snack imaginable. And so I do it because that's the best snack imaginable. And other things like croutons. Now, of course, you don't want soft croutons, but after a few days, the bread will be firm enough that you can then cut it into cubes with the serrated blade knife, put the cubes on a baking sheet, and toast them in the oven, dry them in the oven. You can put them in a 200-degree oven for an hour even, and then they'll just get all, mine get nice and crunchy without being hard. This all depends on your bread. You got to experiment, but a low oven will just dry them out. And if you put them in a 350 oven, it doesn't take much time and they get more toasted than they do just dry. That's a different flavor. It depends on what you want. But if I have a nice batch of croutons, of course I'm going to make a Caesar salad. It seems to me the best vehicle for croutons is a really good Caesar salad. And I do make a good one, not a fake one. I even use the raw egg, as is traditional. And then there's the end, of course, when it's really, you don't want to eat it anymore, so to speak. You just let it dry out. And I keep it on the counter, let it dry out, make breadcrumbs. And I have nice, wheaty breadcrumbs. In fact, when I served my shrimp with breadcrumbs the other day, my friend who was eating it said something about it. She said, did you make these breadcrumbs too? As if that's a lot of work. It saves the bread and, you know, put them in a blender, a mini processor. You know, if you really have fun with a mortar and pestle, it's really fun to break them up in a mortar and pestle. Dried out bread. Now, I also buy dried out bread, which has several names in Italy. It is a big deal in the south of Italy. From, I bet you even Romans do this. I've never asked my Roman friends. Definitely in Naples, Salerno, Sicily, they make a lot of things with what's called pane biscottato. And biscottato is the same root as biscuit. It means twice cooked. So this is twice cooked bread, meaning, of course, it's bread. That's one cook. And then it's when it's dried out is the second cooking. And you can buy pane biscottato in an Italian-American bakery or packaged, even imported from Italy in the specialty Italian markets. And they're also called fresselle. And fresselle can be like a slice or a half of bread, but more often is a donut shaped, a ring of pane biscottato. And with that ring, with that dried out bread, I make what Neapolitans call caponata. It's not the same as Sicilian caponata. And we're coming up on the tomato, you know, we'll have tomatoes soon enough. It is a summer vehicle for tomatoes. So you make, buy rather, but if you want to make it yourself, you can do the 200 degree dry out in the oven method. But for this, I buy, and I buy a whole wheat one. They sell whole wheat fraisele where I do my Italian shopping. And you moisten the dried out bread by dipping it in salt water, a little history on that. And then you top it basically with a chopped tomato salad, oil, vinegar. I would let the tomatoes stand for a while with salt on them so that they weep. And then all those juices you pour over the bread. And by the way, you can put some oil on the bread too. I mean, oil galore here if you've got good oil. And then the same with the tomatoes. You can mix other things. Of course, you know, put some herb, either oregano or basil or parsley in your tomatoes. You can dollop the tomatoes with capers, olives, with tuna. And in fact, the history with this is that it was a dish, I mean, the dried out bread moistened with salt water was a dish that fishermen ate when they were out for a long time and they had to bring food with them. They could bring that fresele or pane biscottato, moisten it with seawater, and then traditionally eat it with raw fish, crudo fish, you know, raw fish. They did not have a tomato to dice up. This probably predates tomatoes. But eventually it became this. And then, and actually, in the royal court in the 19th century, early 19th century, this became a big presentation dish. There are descriptions of the various fish and vegetables piled on top of each other on this basically what was cucina povera, the dried out bread of the poor people food, really, cucina povera. And speaking of which, here's another one. This one I like, Marshall, because I have a recipe. I noticed today I had a recipe for it in my last book, that being the Southern Italian Table, which I do think you can find out there in bookland, but it's not in print anymore. You can search the internet. There are copies out there. But anyway, it's something called acquacotta. This is real poor people food. You take your dried out bread. I mean, I have done this with my own bread dried out, not in croutons, in hunks. In fact, this is a very good thing to do with heels of bread, meaning, you know, the crusty ends of the bread, which not everybody likes. I like, but not everybody likes. You dry those out, put them in a bowl. And over it, and I could do this raw, by the way. It doesn't have to be cooked. I'll give you a cooked version. Over that, I would put some chopped garlic, some hot pepper, some hot water to moisten the bread, and really get the bread, you know, mushed up with water and this and a good amount of olive oil. So it's a very healthy. Very raw, but you can also make a little kind of oil sauce where you can put onion in there. You got a lot of things you can do, but basically, it's soaked bread, and if you're a poor person, just with garlic, hot pepper, water, and salt. And then oh, chickpeas, and that's what I show in the book. That idea, but with chickpeas, I could go on and on, and I think I have to. The two most famous bread dishes in all of it, now maybe two of the three. I forgot about it until the second, I forgot about the third. They're all from Florence, from actually in general Tuscany, which is the region around Florence, which is a city and province smaller than the region around it, like a state and a county. Is Papa al pomodoro, which is bread fogged up, sopped up with tomato sauce. Get to that whole thing in a second. And one that I find really not doable without real Tuscan bread. I see a lot of things called Tuscan bread in the stores, and none of it is real. Not sure why they call it Tuscan bread either. But anyway, it's that round peasant loaf everywhere. It's not Tuscan. If you have real Tuscan bread, you can make panzanella. Panzanella is a bread salad. And Tuscan bread is very particular. It has a fine crumb, has no salt. And when you break it up in a salad, panzanella is a salad with tomato, cucumber, onion, basil, all tossed with oil and vinegar. It, unless it's that consistency of bread, it just turns into a lot of mush, which I don't like. If I want mush, I make the other one, the other Tuscan, Papa al pomodoro. And Papa is like, pap, like babies, baby food, mushy food, pap, Papa. But it sounds so much more romantic when you say Papa than pap. And Papa al pomodoro is tomato sauce with bread in it. And even though it's in the soup, it's not really soup category. I would call it minestra. It's that course before the main course that isn't necessarily pasta or rice or polenta, or it could be a soup. It could be a soup soup. It could be a very thick soup. I happen to like thick soups myself. So we'll get to that in a sec. So in this case, it's really not soup. The Papa al pomodoro, it's mush, and I like it a lot. And you can make Papa successfully with other breads besides a panzanella. And I've even discovered you can make Papa with fresh bread, not fresh sliced bread. That would just turn to disgusting mush. But some good, pure Italian or European style loaf, it could be a sourdough bread too, would be wonderful with panzanella. But it is originally made with old bread, but it works out pretty well even with fresh bread, because in the end you want mush in this case. So what you do is you make a tomato sauce. Now I love to make this with leeks. Just saute some leeks in a chopped clean, chopped, I don't know, how much are we going to make here? It depends on how much you're making, 1 or 2 leeks. Sauteed in olive oil, good olive oil, and don't be stingy with it. For 2 leeks, you're going to need a quarter of a cup of olive oil. Cook it slowly until the leeks get nice and tender, then add tomatoes. In the summer, you could use fresh tomatoes, but I happen to like the flavor of canned tomatoes. I buy good canned tomatoes and put in a can of tomatoes, chop them up in the pot, and let it cook for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, no more. Or you can put in, excuse me, some hot pepper or black pepper, of course, salt. Make a nice tomato sauce with the leek. Then break your bread into the sauce and stir it in until it's all a mush. Delicious, delicious mush. If you don't like the way it looks, put a basil leaf on top It'll, and put it in a pretty bowl. But it really doesn't look bad anyway. Oh, you may want, by the way, to that, you may definitely want to add some broth to make the bread really mushy. I always have good chicken broth in the freezer, so I would defrost a cup of that, 2 cups of that, whatever, depending on how much I'm making. You can use vegetable broth if you want to make, and then it's vegan, isn't it? There are so many things that are vegan that people, it's not labeled vegan, of course, but if you're only doing tomatoes, vegetable, bread, vegan. And by the way, this does not take grated cheese. People put it on there sometimes, but I don't like my papa with grated cheese. I like my papa drizzled with more olive oil. That makes it very healthy. So, and then there's the caponata. I told you could do that. Anyway, bread, for 2 years, I didn't eat bread. And maybe I'm into bread because I missed it so much.
All right, sir.
I'm right here.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about my favorite part of. I like a very thick, hearty bread, but it's funny. I love to get the inside of the bread really, really moist, whether it's with marinara sauce, whether it's with some sort of dressing. And then I like to put, I've gone away from having a lot of meat, but I've gone into making a lot of different interesting vegetarian sandwiches.
Are you going vegetarian now?
Not really, but it's like a, it's nice that, to have an occasional
Well, for you,
eggplant, stuff like that.
I years and years ago, just because I was a restaurant critic. And people were asking me about eating vegetarian in restaurants. I went vegetarian myself for about 8 months, I guess. Except I, and the only thing I missed, by the way, was prosciutto, salami. So my friend Suzanne, may she rest in peace, always used to say, "Well, Arthur's a porco vegetarian." So I didn't miss fetch, I didn't miss meat at all. My nephew just boasted the other day that it's been a year and a half since he's had red meat. But he does eat chicken.
Another interesting thing has happened. I used to hate anything but solid white core alla cor tuna, but since I've been in the hospital, I've gotten addicted to regular tuna fish sandwiches.
Do they make it with? What kind of tuna do they use?
I don't know, but it's not just solid. It's not white solid white core tuna.
Oh, well, I haven't eaten that in years, and I did, in fact, buy a few cans. I think they were on sale, so I bought a few cans and to make a recipe that called for white albacore. And I was so, because I'm so used to what I eat, which is, I don't know, the bluefin, I guess, light, what they call light tuna. And I only buy it packed in olive oil. So I was so used to that and from good ones. That I couldn't tolerate the white album. It's what you get used to, you know?
Are
At
you?
this stage in my life, I don't feel like getting used to something like that.
I'll even take the tuna sandwich, and if they serve like cream of mushroom soup, or if they serve tomato soup, I dunk it in that.
Let me say, new hospitals do pretty good with cream soups, usually. And in fact, my friend Suzanne, as I said, she was in a rehabilitation facility at the end of her life. And she went vegan because the best things that they had were lentil soup and baked potatoes.
Absolutely true.
That
Absolutely true.
was. That was what she looked forward to. But then she cheated a lot. She since she was on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, she was able to order in.
That helps.
Yeah, that helped.
It's funny, that helps.
Yes. She, in fact, she was the one who told me about the fried chicken from that. Wait, I'm going to forget. Is Schaller and Weber. Which is this German butcher that is there for I don't, maybe 100 years now, but their products are sold probably in Sharon. They're all over. I mean, they have bratwurst and whatever in packages, but in the store, the original store on 86th Street in Manhattan, according to Suzanne, they sell great fried chicken. Well, actually, it was Joan Hamburg. My former radio wife, who told me about the great fried chicken from Schaller and Weber, because she lives in that neighborhood. Then I told Suzanne, I didn't trust Joan at all, but I do trust Suzanne. So I told Suzanne about it, and she ordered it in, and she said it was very good. And she was from Louisville, Kentucky, so I'm sure she's watching the Kentucky Derby this weekend.
All right, Arthur.
All right, Marshall. Bread on.
All
Oh,
right.
and I didn't even get to French toast.
Oh, all right. I will check with you next week.
Take care.
Take care, bye.